We don't fall to the top of the mountain. This is Thought for Today. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. We don't fall to the top of the mountain. Now, this is a condition that has boggled humanity forever. They would all like to fall into riches. They'd like to fall into abundance. They'd like to fall into happiness. They'd like to fall into everything that is good and beautiful in life. That's what they'd like to do, really. And what's going to come of that? What's going to come of that? They want to win this sweepstakes, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, they want to inherit their money. How many people do you know who waited for their parents to die to have money to spend and do the things they want to do? You know, the unhappy people who do that. And sometimes their parents are only going to leave them, you know, a small inheritance, hardly enough to be worth waiting for. They could have built that up 5-6 times in the 10-20 years that they waited, or longer, you know. Now, we all want to fall to the top of the mountain, and it just doesn't work that way. But I will tell you a way to do it that's very secret, that has never been mentioned in the annals of humanity. We can fall to the top of the mountain if we enter into our divinity and then look at the world. Because our divinity has us in this higher state of consciousness, which is beyond the level of any mountain, any hill, any valley. We are up. And then when we look out from our divinity, we see the mountaintop. And we step foot by foot by foot from mountaintop to mountaintop across the Himalayas. And we can do anything. We can do anything. What is it that you would like to do for yourself? What is the dream that you have? Do you ever dream of starting at the bottom? Do you ever dream of starting at the bottom? Nobody does. They always dream of being president of IBM. They always started being Bill Gates. Even Bill Gates didn't know what he was doing. And of course, he's doing what he wants to do, though. But these people who have dreams, they're starting at the top of the mountain. They're starting at the top of the mountain with their dream of seeing themselves successful and happy and fulfilled. But you know why they're so happy about it? Because they know it's their dream. It's nobody else's dream. They know, at least they think they know, what they would like to do. Now, in my own personal life, I have every 2 years changed jobs, and every 2 years gone on to some upgrade of a job in various newspapers or magazines or publication work that I was doing in my lifetime. And every 2 years it seemed that I would go on to something bigger and better. And always the door was open for me to go back to be on the previous job if I wanted to, you know, which was kind of nice. But each time I wanted to go on. And my mother said to me when I was at the United Church of Religious Science, "Don't leave there, that's a great thing. You'll be the editor of that magazine soon." And it was another 10 or 15 years before Willis Kinnear died when the new editor was able to take over. So I should sit there for 10 or 15 years to wait to be the editor of that magazine. And of course, I'm sure that's not what she meant. What she meant was, with my dreams, with my goals, my aspirations, it wouldn't be long before I would be the head of the company, be the head of the program, be the head of anything I wanted to be. And I was. And I did this in the different magazines and news. But always, I didn't see myself the head. I saw myself doing what the head did. I saw myself doing those things that the head of the company did. Now, you see, there's a big difference between seeing yourself the head of the company and seeing yourself doing what the head of the company does. When you can do what the head of the company does, then as opportunities come, you just fall right into them. You fall right into them from your high state of consciousness, from your divine state of consciousness. And as you do that, then you enter into a very beautiful experience. You enter into a very dynamic and forceful and powerful experience of being the master of yourself. Now I'm going to try an experiment so that you can see how it sounds, you know. So here we go with our experiment. We don't fall to the top of the mountain. We arrive at the top of the mountain with a full heart, with a full life, with a full awareness of who we are. Now, who are you? Who are you, Paul? You haven't the vaguest idea. You're God, that's for sure. But you don't realize all the things you are because you have never looked at it. You've never looked at your ability to be a writer, to your ability to be a speaker, your ability to be a sculptor, to do a Michelangelo's work. You know, you've never looked at your ability. You've never been challenged to it because you just haven't thought of taking the opportunity. Now, if somebody came along and said, "Well, Lily, or rather Paul, what am I going to do with you? I only have one job open here." And this job is head of the marketing department of the marketing department of the computer programming programs. Now, do you want to try your hand at it? Paul says, "Of course." So Paul goes in and he says, "All right, I don't want to be disturbed for one full day." So he sits in his office and closes the door. No one bothers him. And he sits there and he says, "All right, what have I got myself into now?" He says, "I know that I know that I know. I know all about marketing. I know that I know that I know. I know all about the marketing of software programs. And I know the technique that is going to be most beneficial to this company." Now, so then he gets onto the internet. And he begins to ask questions here and there on the internet of chat rooms of this, of that, or the other thing. And before you know it, he spent maybe 2 or 3 hours on the internet, and he's gotten all sorts of ideas. He has found out the techniques that other people would recommend using for marketing. And so he learned all about these marketing things, which he already knew. But he wrote them down. And he says, "Okay, if that's what they think I should do, I am going to do the opposite." And so what is the opposite of what they have told him what to do? They have told him that advertising on the internet doesn't pay off. They have told him that going to clubs and organizations or You silly little person, you cannot go and see Bill Gates and say, "Bill Gates, I have an idea here for this," because Bill Gates will just take your idea and shove you out. Well, no, he won't. Because I've read the Dale Carnegie stuff. And in the Dale Carnegie, you know the Dale Carnegie stuff? How to Think and Grow Rich and so forth. Dale Carnegie said, this is what you should do. You go to the top of every business and you ask them a question like this: how could I make a success out of my life using the techniques you used in your business? And they will love to talk to you and they'll love to tell you. So you go to these tremendously successful men, Lee Iacocca and so forth, you know, and you talk to them and you ask them this question: how do you get into their office in the first place? You don't doubt it. You just go. You just say, "I am here. I am supposed to ask this question of Lee Iacocca." "Well, what's the question?" "I'm supposed to ask him how he made a success of his life, you know, in this world." Okay, you know, perfectly, you know, simple thing. But you go in there and you say, "Mr. Iacocca, I have admired what you have done throughout your life. I have admired how you have taken nothing and built it into something whenever you got it. You were always grabbing a hold of nothing and making it into something. You took the Ford Motor Company and you made it into something. You took the Chrysler Corporation and it was failing and it was in debt. You went to the federal government and got the highest loan that any private industry ever got out of the federal government, and you paid it back beforehand. Mr. Iacocca, you are a fabulous man. Can you tell me how I could feel the sense of your success, of your integrity, of your, you know, my God, you think that guy won't talk to you? Oh, he will. But you have to believe in yourself first. Now, you may never use anything any of these people say. That's not the point. What is the point that comes from going to meet these people? You have a new opinion of yourself, a new value of yours. You're at the top of the mountain. You're at the top of the mountain. Now, can you stay there? Can you stay at the top of the mountain once you've been there? You can, if you have the same imagination. You don't have to start at the beginning. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You're right at the top of the mountain. How can you stay there? Well, you continue asking questions. You continue probing the greatest minds in the world who have been a success in all areas, not just the area that you're interested in. And you will become so enamored with techniques and possibilities that when you come out of your office, you say, okay, here we go. A new day is born. And they say, oh my gosh, new broom sweeps clean. And so then Paul Aaron Barley becomes a household name from the top of the mountain. Can you see? Can you see? It's not what you know now, although you know it all, but you don't know that you know it. It's not what you use now, and you have it all to use right now, but you don't know that you have it all to use right now. It's what you can make your mind be prepared to receive. Then you can share it with the world, and the world will love you. This is what I've done in many, many areas, many times. When General Eisenhower came to Castle Field in Atwater, California, and he had Natalie Wood in tow, and here she was, the top hot actress of the time, and he was the top general of the time, and I went to the base, not really to see him because I didn't care. I went to cover the news that was there, and they had forgotten to tell all the other press that that was the day that the general and Natalie would be there. I was the only one there, representing all the newspapers of the valley, representing all the newspapers, and I gave them all my story after I published it, and fantastic. But I talked to Eisenhower personally, and he said, well, let's sit down, have some coffee and stuff, you know, just friendly as can be. And I say, well, Mr. Eisenhower, or General Eisenhower, you know, I have to keep that proper. You just seem to go from better to better to better all your life. Why? He says, because I know there's nothing impossible. He said, whatever I had laid before me, the general staff came up to me and they said, Ike, are you ready to take care of this war in Europe? And sure, what do we do? How do you do it? You know, what do you expect? You want to win or lose? Well, of course we want to win. All right. If you want to win, let me create the strategy. If you want to lose, you guys create the strategy back here and tell me what to do, and we'll lose. But you let me create the strategy, and because I'm going to be the man on the spot, Johnny on the spot, and we will win. And he did. Now, I wrote that up in our paper. And Natalie Wood, fabulous, and many other things that he said, too. And Natalie Wood, she says, well, Herb, she called me even Herb, you know, because we were just a three little group there. And she says, what would you like to know? You know? And she says, this is quite an honor, you know, having you as the lone reporter here, you know. I said, the honor's all mine. I said, how did you move into the upper strata of being a movie star? And she said, well, contrary to a lot of people's opinion, that I slept in a lot of beds, she says, I didn't have to. She says, I did my treatment work at home, She didn't say treatment, my prayer work at home. And she says, and then I would go to the work. I'd go to my call for a screen test. And as I'd go in for my call, I would go in there and I would be so good. I'd be so good. I didn't, not in competition with anybody else. I was just so good because I listened within. I always got the part. I always got the role. But also, I wouldn't go to every call. I only went to the calls that I respected, whatever it was that they were having as the book that they were, you know, putting the story on. Because I don't like to be in anything that isn't representing my highest and my best. And wow, you know, wow, great stuff. Now, a lot of people didn't hear it. A lot of people did. It got on the network news. It got on all the stuff. And I didn't get any credit for it. I was just a stringer. And so I went on there and got it all. But it was wonderful. You see, right to the top. And when you get to the top, do not be intimidated by them. When I was in Newport Beach writing about all the news, the actresses and actors who lived down there, John Wayne and the gang, you know. I don't even remember the names because they're not interesting to me. But I went into all their homes, and I ate at their tables. And they treated me like just a friend and a neighbor, and not just a reporter of the newspaper writing about their activities. But I went right to the top. I went right to the top and talked to them every time. And it's great. You see, when you're at the top of the mountain inside yourself, you can be at the top of everyone else's mountain. But when you are in the basement, you cannot be at the top of the mountain for yourself or for anybody else. And this is what life is all about. We want to be at the top of the mountain. And yes, we don't fall to the top of the mountain. We are there. We are there. What we fall from is into the pit from the bottom. But we don't climb the mountain. We don't seek to do it at the top. We just know that that's the place to get it. Now, this point here might be a little contrary, but it's true. If you want to know how a business is run, talk to the janitor. Because the janitor knows all about the business. He knows all the little intricacies of it. And if you ever make friends of the janitor of a business to find out how to get to speak to the upper echelon, you'll win every time. Because if the janitor is your friend, he'll tell you everything without thinking you're going to misuse it, and you're not. But you're going to use it in a beneficial way, which will allow you to go to the top and be the most magnificent being that you can be. Now, are you worthy of the top? Yeah. You bet. Yeah. Are you worthy of the top, Ingeborg? No. If you're worthy of the top, stop groveling on the bottom and stop complaining that you're not on the top. Start realizing that you are. And Ingeborg, the roses smell differently on the top of the mountain than they do down in the smoggy valleys. And when you get up there, the oxygen is thinner, more pure, more beautiful. And that's where each of you belong. And that's where each of you listening belong. On the top of the mountain, in consciousness. And if you're there in consciousness, you can be sure that you'll be there in fact all the days of your life. We don't fall to the top of the mountain. We're already there. Have a lovely evening. Lovely day, lovely life. I love you.